All right, and it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is Monday, November 23rd, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is the Impossible Truth. Today on VBS Radio Studio One, we are going to ask tough questions, and we're going to try to give ourselves some answers. Because the situation as we see it all, and everybody can feel it, is not the same. The life that we had before is gone and over, and now we have to reestablish what this that we want and how we're going to get it and how the world is going to go back to a normal stage. Because if you would be on a game, you would think that, you know, you are walking in a place and then people attack. Like, you know, in Israel, people will come and say, you have to give Palestinians something or you have to talk to Palestinians. And then you see them, those Palestinians, they act like ISIS. Don't want to talk to any Palestinian, don't want to make peace with anybody. Just get them off our back. We have the resolution 181 that gives Israel the right to this land. We have the record, of course, the Bible. So any claim that they have is bogus. But now let's talk about the role of the world in all of this. Because the coalition, we have alliances that start with, of course, many months ago, when it started to be, Syria was in shambles and so many refugees, but it moved to real, real big time action when the attack on the Paris, you know, places, the stadium, the theater, the restaurants. Those attacks were incredible, like the Russian, you know, they drop a plane out of the blue, they bomb it. Or they planted the bomb. So everybody wants to know how we're going to get about it. And we have a visit of the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, in Iran from all places. And in all this, the Iranian regime decided to say, oh, we need to stop America from taking over the Middle East. I don't understand. In a minute ago, you were in talks with America. You were sitting with American Secretary of State, and you were saying that we all together, you know, against ISIS. And all of a sudden, it's America. So nothing. This fox never shed his fur. It never changed. And the fact that today Putin is giving him a missile. The 300 serious whatsoever, serious, they just started to renew it. And, of course, he signed on the same day, today. Putin signed an agreement to start supplying Iranian with all the goods that they need for nuclear stuff. So whatever it is that Iran is doing is not according to the alliances of the thing. And sure enough, we have the rebels in Syria that, you know, many people who did not have, you know, were not supposed to get involved, got involved. Let's not forget that. But let's assume that now we have a really good, incredible condition on the ground. Syrian get bombed from all over. But it's come to truth that from all the bombing that the Russian is doing, the resistance, so the rebels claim that only 6% is on ISIS or Daesh, and all the rest is on them. And giving power to Assad to come to terms and start gaining momentum. Now, from all the places that they were talking about that needs to be to be gained and accessed and take is the headquarter of the Islamic State in Raqqa. They said that whoever, there is no, you know, booth there, but Raqqa is the headquarter, that whoever starts there, it will be massive. Now, the Kurds are willing to go there, so I heard, but it's, you know, according to the Kuwait Arayin newspaper, they said that the Russian already ground troops are on the ground there, and they took, you know, there are some movements. So what do we have here? We have Syria that's being bombed. The French decided to bomb Iraqi first. Tell me why, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, why they decided it's Iraq and Syria. So the French are attacking Iraq. I know that the Charles de Gaulle, the carrier, is in the Mediterranean. And they're starting the rock and rolling there now, because Hollande is going to meet with Putin soon. Is meeting with all people that are important, and they're gonna make a plan. But there are many forces that needs to be moved together. But more important is a new routine for the borders in Europe. They have to establish some things. I know that the French did it, but all the rest are still slow in making the security efforts. I heard that Bruxelles is in a shutdown for 3 days already. That you know, Belgium is the hub for the Islamic Jihad, I guess, because it's become, you know, Bruxelles is international, Bruxelles is the headquarters of the European Union. They have 100 languages that they speak there, that's in advertising. So they got the good and the bad. And now they ride some houses, but not much was gained. So this is for the start, just to tell you, the world is beautiful. Now I should have got this music saying, you know, what a beautiful world that exactly this, because after this, one needs just to bless. But, you know, let's get some music, and then I'll tell you what a guy that went back and forth, you know, from the outer world, came back and said to everybody. There is a lot of talk these days.
When I was young, I'd listen to the radio, waiting for my favorite songs. When they played, I'd sing along. It made me smile. Those were such happy times, and not so long ago. How I wondered where they'd gone.
Nice, huh? That's nice music. Yeah, you wish that you could listen, but we have so much news that we need to take care of, that we don't have that luxury of sitting around doing nothing. We need to get some action going. Let's start with some, you know, on the records that we can talk about after.
We have breaking news this morning. As you heard from Christian Amanpour, according to French authorities, at least one of the Islamist terrorists smuggled into France amongst refugees from Syria. There are Syrian refugees coming into the United States right now. Clearly, there is a heartbreaking humanitarian imperative at stake, but what would you do as president given this new information?
Well, I think we need to lead as it relates to taking action in Syria and Iraq to eradicate ISIS from the face of the earth. That should be our first and foremost responsibility. But as it relates to the refugees, I think we need to do thorough screening and take a limited number. But ultimately, the best way to deal with the refugee crisis is to create safe zones inside of Syria so that people don't risk their lives, and you don't have what will be a national security challenge, both for our country and Europe, of screening. In addition to that, Jake, I'd say that there are a lot of Christians in Syria that have no place now. They'll be either executed or imprisoned, either by Assad or by ISIS. And I think we should have, we should focus our efforts as it relates to the refugees for the Christians that are being slaughtered.
How does the United States, how do screeners tell which refugees are Christian and which ones are not?
Well, we do that all the time. We do that. It takes almost a year for a refugee to be processed into the United States. And I think we need to be, obviously, very, very cautious. This also calls to mind the need to make sure we protect our borders, our southern border particularly. We need to focus on counterintelligence capabilities that have been weakened when the Patriot Act was reauthorized. This is a warning for our country that this threat is not going to go away. This is a threat against Western civilization. And we need to lead. The United States has pulled back, and when we pull back, voids are filled, and they're filled now by Islamic terrorism that threatens our country.
What would you be doing differently that President Obama is not? There are currently special operation forces in Syria. There are obviously bombing campaigns going on in Syria. They killed Jihadi John just a few days ago. What would President Bush be doing?
I would first have a strategy. The president has admitted he does not have a strategy as it relates to ISIS. Hillary Clinton last night said that it's not our fight. It is our fight. And without our leadership in building a coalition to destroy ISIS, it won't happen. Creating a strategy means that we create a no-fly zone, create safe havens for the remnants of the Syrian Free Army to be built up. We lead by getting our Arab allies and friends to be able to support one fighting force. This is made more complicated by the Iranian deal and Iran's and Russia's support of the brutal Assad regime. Both of those, both ISIS and Assad, need to be taken out, which means that we need to have a concerted effort by Europe, the United States, with our leadership, and the Arab world to create an alternative to the brutality that exists so that there could be stability.
You mentioned Hillary Clinton. The Democratic candidates gathered last night in Iowa for their second debate. Take a listen to Hillary Clinton talking about ISIS.
We have to look at ISIS as the leading threat of an international terror network. It cannot be contained. It must be defeated.
How would your approach to ISIS differ from Hillary Clinton's?
Well, she says that, but then she says it's not it. Later in the debate, she said it wasn't our fight. The difference would be that, as I spoke 2 months ago at the Reagan Library, we need a strategy, and American leadership is desperately needed there. We need a no-fly zone. We need to create safe havens. We need to embed with the Iraqi military and provide direct support for the Kurdish forces and re-engage with the Sunni tribal leaders. A strategy requires listening to the commanders, not tying their hands behind their backs, not having lawyers on top of every sortie that goes out. This is a war, and we should act accordingly.
Does that mean you think we should send more troops into Syria, more troops into Iraq?
I would listen to the military commanders and give them the mission, which is, how do we destroy ISIS? It is Islamic terrorism. It's not a law enforcement engagement. And listen to them and then develop a clear strategy. I can't tell you the force levels required to do this. I do know that it has to be done in unison with our allies. We can't do this alone, but we must lead.
The Pope called the Paris massacre part of World War III. President of France, François Hollande, he's called it an act of war. Should NATO invoke Article 5, an attack on one is an attack on all, and declare war on ISIS?
I think the president should convene the North American Council to discuss that. And I do think that it's worthy of consideration for sure. If that's what the French want, then our longest and strongest and most loyal ally over our entire history, we should certainly consider it. Our hearts go out to the people of Paris and to France. This is the second time they've had an atrocious act of terror in their country. We need to show complete solidarity with them.
You, on Twitter last night, tweaked Hillary Clinton and the other Democratic candidates for being unwilling to use the phrase radical Islamic terrorism at the debate. Hillary Clinton said she's following the example of your brother, George W. Bush, after 9/11. Take a listen to this.
The face of terror is not the true faith of Islam. That's not what Islam is all about. Islam is peace. these terrorists don't represent peace. They represent evil and war.
Is Islam peace, Governor?
You know what? I know what Islamic terrorism is, and that's what we're fighting with ISIS, Al-Qaeda, all of the other groups, and that's what our focus should be on. This is not a question of religion. This is a political ideology that has co-opted a religion. And I think it's more than acceptable to call it for what it is and then organize an effort to destroy it.
I guess the question is, though, Hillary Clinton said she doesn't want to label it as Islamic terrorism, and that seemed to be, at least in the first few years of the war on terror under President Bush, your brother, his blueprint as well. And he said Islam is peace. It's hard to imagine Hillary Clinton saying Islam is peace and not being attacked by Republicans.
All I know is that she does not believe that this is our fight. This is a fight for Western civilization. We need to be all in on it. And the simple fact is that these are Islamic terrorists that have co-opted a faith that is peaceful. But nevertheless, this is something we need to fight. And I don't think anybody would question that my brother was in that fight, that he viewed it as a national security fight, and he led. And that's what we need to do again.
The Pentagon said Friday that it has disabled nearly three-quarters of the ISIS oil infrastructure. It prompted Donald Trump to tweet the following, quote, "They laughed at me when I said to bomb the ISIS-controlled oil fields. Now they are not laughing and doing what I said." Do you give Donald Trump credit for this one?
I don't give Donald Trump credit. He's been all over the map as it relates to this, whether we should engage or not engage, whether we should have the Russians do the work that a coalition needs to be done, whether Assad needs to be kept in. All of this is quite confusing because he's bouncing around as it relates to a policy. What we need is a strategy to take out ISIS and to deal with Assad at the same time. And part of that strategy is, correctly so, to take out their resources, both the ability to hold people hostage for kidnapping for ransom, as well as taking out their ability to garner revenue from oil. Those are smart moves, but I'd love to see the president describe what the strategy is and then garner the support in the world to be able to execute on it.
Governor Jeb Bush, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right.
Thank you, Jake.
All right. That was incredible, because he actually spoke about all what we are concerned about. Our involvement, the alliance involvement, the Russian, the immigration, even Donald Trump, everything that, you know, but what he really, really said, that we need a safety zone for the refugees so they won't cross to Europe. That's true. We do have refugees in one camp. But they didn't do nothing with it yet. We didn't establish where we're going to transport them or where they're going to be, because the war in Syria is going to keep ongoing. And I was asked by a person, and I said it yesterday, that we need to talk about buying some islands around the region from one of the countries, and bring and create a world, a safe zone for those people, so they all can come, and we'll have to put some, you know, the German wants the refugee to work in their Opel factories. We can open one there, so they'll have some work. So there is a solution about the safety zone and the refugees, that if we only get ourselves together to do that. Now, he's talking about a strategy, you know, to bomb. I don't know what they're talking about strategy, because he didn't detail it, but he probably have one, because his father and his brother were pretty successful in this. So they probably know what they're talking about. And then, of course, there is the Iran cahoots with Assad that is in the middle, because you actually cannot win it if you don't dismantle this disinvolvement of Iran. You need to understand, they are not working; they're working against each other. So they're all jumping in. And now we heard that, you know, the Iraqi, their government closed the skies because the Russian were using missiles. And they didn't want them to get there for some reason. So we're talking about a big confusion over there. And if Turkey is the place where they mix it both ways, we should call upon them. Because I heard that the Turks are the one who buy the oil from ISIS. Because you cannot work on both sides. We know that, you know. All right, let's get some more news. We have more of Jeb, I think.
Welcome back. In the aftermath of the Paris attacks, it's becoming clear that as commander-in-chief, the next president will face no tougher task than facing down ISIS and Islamic extremism in general. Joining me now is former Florida governor and a presidential candidate, Jeb Bush. Governor Bush, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thank you.
Well, let me ask it this way. You heard Ben Rhodes believes it's we are at war. The French president says we are at war. There's wars that are tactical, and then there's a war against an ideology. How do you defeat an ideology, Governor?
Well, you take it to them in Syria and Iraq. You destroy ISIS, and then you build a coalition to replace this radical Islamic terrorist threat to our country and to Europe and to the region with something that is more peace-loving. We have to be engaged in this. This is not something you can contain. Each day that ISIS exists, it gains new energy and more recruits around the world.
You know, everything is a divide here. There's democracy, there's security and stability. So, for instance, in dealing with ISIS, our coalition partners like Turkey and Saudi Arabia, they care more about getting rid of Assad than they do in dealing with ISIS. Should the United States essentially change its policy and put the pause button on getting rid of Assad?
No, I think we need to do both. You don't see ISIS and Assad fighting each other. What the fight is with the remnants of the Syrian Free Army. We need to build that force up, which is not what's happening. This is viewed as a law enforcement exercise by the Obama administration. We should declare war and harness all of the power that the United States can bring to bear, both diplomatic and military, of course, to be able to take out ISIS. We have the capabilities of doing this. We just haven't shown the will.
What is it that you would like to see the president do? Let's set the campaign aside here. In the next 2 weeks, you want President Obama to do what, Governor?
Declare a no-fly zone over Syria. Directly arm the Peshmerga forces in Iraq, re-engage with the Sunni tribal leaders, embed with the Iraqi military, be able to create safe zones in Syria, garner the support of our European allies and our the traditional Arab states. Lead. That's what I want him to do. I want him to lead. He has the capability of doing this. We have the resources to do this. This is a threat to Western civilization, and we should consider it that way.
What do you tell an American public who says, you know what, the Iraq war, Afghanistan, we've had a lot of blood and treasure. Nothing's changed in the Middle East. We had a terrorist threat before 9/11. We now have a terrorist threat now. What policy works? Because we've tried different. We've tried intervention. We've tried toppling dictators. We've tried nation building. None of it has worked. What do you tell the American public?
I tell the American public that a caliphate the size of Indiana garners strength each and every day if it's not taken out. 30 to 40,000 battle-tested soldiers that are organized to destroy our way of life. My heart goes out to the people of Paris, and this will continue on. We have to be in this fight. There is no other option. And this threat can be contained, but more importantly, it'll never die unless it's destroyed. And the policy of containment isn't going to work. And it's a policy of incremental, just kind of running out the clock so the next president has to deal with this. Should I be the president of the United States, I promise you that I will.
Some of your closest advisors or who you've put on paper are people that were members of your brother's administration. A foreign policy in the Middle East that essentially the American public rejected in 2008. Why should they trust you to bring back that same foreign policy?
The world is going to be dramatically different in 2017 than it was in 2000. We need to be focused on the future. And this is a threat to Western civilization. There's no way to deny this. This is how they're organized. And containing ISIS isn't going to work. Taking it out, we have the capability of doing it. And the focus ought to be on the future, not the past.
Do you believe that, what do you say to voters that right now they want outsiders and they don't care that they don't have a lot of experience. Do you think what happened in Paris should change the mindset of the Republican voter, and what's your case to them to make them do that?
Yeah, look, I think as we get closer to the primaries, people are going to know who can sit behind the big desk, who has the judgment and the temperament to lead this country. And if you listen to some of the candidates speaking about Syria, for example, they're all over the map. I laid out a strategy 2 months ago at the Reagan Library, and it's the proper strategy, I think, to be able to destroy ISIS and to have change in the regime related to Assad so that there can be peace and security in the region and lessening the threat to our own national security.
Would you trust Donald Trump or Ben Carson as commander-in-chief right now?
I don't know. The words that I hear them speaking give me some concern. But that's why we have campaigns, Chuck, as you know. Everybody will have a chance to lay out their visions. I'm more concerned about Hillary Clinton thinking that the United States doesn't have a leadership role in this. That's my big concern. If you listen to the Democrats debating.
So you agree with Governor O'Malley?
About what?
About American, that this is America's leadership role, that they have to, this is America's fight more so than it is the world's fight.
It's both. And I think Governor O'Malley probably agrees with me that we need to lead. If he's suggesting that, kudos to him. We need to lead. We cannot lead from behind. We have to take a leadership role to inspire our Arab partners in the European countries, NATO allies, all of them together, create a strategy, act on it, unleash a strategy on ISIS, and we'll be successful.
Let me go to the refugee issue. Do you believe we should still try to accept some of these Syrian refugees? And if not, what do you do with them?
The great majority of refugees need to be safely kept in Syria, which means the safe zones need to be serious. We need to build a coalition that can fight both Assad and ISIS and give people safe haven. I do think we have a responsibility to help with refugees after proper screening, and I think our focus ought to be on the Christians who have no place in Syria anymore. They're being beheaded, they're being executed by both sides, and I think we have a responsibility to help. But ultimately, the best way to deal with refugees is to have a strategy to take out ISIS and Assad and act on that strategy immediately.
It does sound like to do safe zones in Syria, that's going to mean some boots on the ground.
Absolutely, and it ought to be designed by our military without their hands tied. We ought to know exactly what it'll take, and we can't do it alone. I think that's an important lesson from history, but we need to lead. But for the United States, who is going to take the leadership role? I think having a no-fly zone will be an important part of this, and there are many other things that we need to do in concert with our allies.
All right, Governor Bush. Talking to me from Miami this morning. Hey, NBC News fans, thanks for checking out our YouTube channel. Subscribe by clicking on that button down here and then click on any of the videos.
All right, that was Jeb Bush. Guys, if anybody who listen understand what's going on, the only guy that actually is talking turkey, the guy that knows what's going on, is Jeb Bush, because he's talking about what needs to be done in a normal fashion way. The only thing that I want to emphasize is the safe zone that he wants to create. We don't have much space, you know, to play with when you have so many fighters playing around. And the fact that America is absent from the decision making makes Russia create a lead. But the news that I've been listening to from insiders, we're talking people from the diplomatic, from, you know, Eastern Europe, they're saying all sorts of things. But, you know, the old resources of the Syrian have been taken by the Russians. They created a deal, you know, to pay for this involvement. You know, you don't invite somebody to fight your war and you don't pay them. Only, you know, suckers like, let's not say that. But the idea is people don't trust. The notion is, Russia is a player, fine, let's get going. We need a different leader. And Hollande made so much noise, huff and puff, and it seems like now he's going to Putin to talk to him. Come on. We have to create, we do have to lead. And Governor Bush is completely, completely right on this one. All right, let's get some more news. Let's go to keep it going.
In Paris, France, thanks. Now with me is Republican candidate for President Jeb Bush, live in Miami. Governor Bush, thanks for joining us. We have breaking news this morning. As you heard from Christiane Amanpour, according to French authorities, at least one of the Islamist terrorists smuggled into France amongst refugees from Syria. There are Syrian refugees coming into the United States right now. Clearly, there is a heartbreaking humanitarian imperative at stake. But what would you do as president, given this new information?
Well, I think we need to lead as it relates to taking action in Syria and Iraq to eradicate ISIS from the face of the earth. That should be our first and foremost responsibility. But as it relates to the refugees, I think we need to do thorough screening and take a limited number. But ultimately, the best way to deal with the refugee crisis is to create safe zones inside of Syria so that people don't risk their lives and you don't have what will be a national security challenge, both for our country and Europe, of screening. In addition to that, Jake, I'd say that there are a lot of Christians in Syria that have no place now. They'll be either executed or imprisoned, either by Assad or by ISIS. And I think we should have, we should focus our efforts as it relates to refugees for the Christians that are being slaughtered.
How does the United States, how do screeners tell which refugees are Christian and which ones are not?
Well, we do that all the time. We do that. It takes almost a year for a refugee to be processed into the United States. And I think we need to be, obviously, very, very cautious. This also calls to mind the need to make sure we protect our borders, our southern border particularly. We need to focus on counterintelligence capabilities that have been weakened when the Patriot Act was reauthorized. This is a warning for our country that this threat is not going to go away. This is a threat against Western civilization. And we need to lead. The United States has pulled back, and when we pull back, voids are filled, and they're filled now by Islamic terrorism that threatens our country.
What would you be doing differently that President Obama is?
All right. That was Governor Jeb Bush who gave us ideas of what can be done. So thinking about the people and the future, whatever it is, Let's not go crazy, because we know that this is a world war, and people are talking about, you know, whatever is going to happen, which is going to be devastating for everybody. Nobody wants to be in war, but there are people also, you know, like there is a kid. There is a story now that a kid died and went to heaven, I guess, and he wake up telling us all sort of things. And the story saying that redemption is here. And of course, I'm not the kind of person that will stop being realistic. But whatever it is, because I trust in God, we need to get our stuff together and be better. Okay, because if it's coming or not, if you know, if it's redemption or no, we just need to be better so we get our cards in order before the day is coming. All right. Now, what's going on? What's going to happen if America decides to lead? Let's assume that John Kerry is coming to the region tomorrow, I think, to Israel. And you cannot talk Palestinian peace accord because I'm going to puke. I'm serious. If anybody mentioned talks with a Palestinian, I'll tell them they don't have any idea of what they're doing. And I know Kerry is much smarter than that. And he was saying something interesting. He was saying, we need to stop, you know, the violence. It's like, what is it with you guys? Stopping the violence, it's like saying to the kids, oh, stop fighting. There is no, the kids are murderers. They're taking, they're stabbing a kid and they kill them. Today, there was a girl who flew, you know, went to school and came back in a body bag. Now, there is a petition that, to the White House, that the family of Ezra Schwartz, God, bless his soul, that was killed last Thursday, and there was no recognition from the White House. He is American. So let me read it to you, because we're going to recognize his sacrifice in the name, because he came to Israel as a tourist to help soldiers, you know, feed them or whatever. He was in a goodwill mission, and he got killed by a bastard. All right, so let's say last Thursday, Ezra Schwartz, an 18-year-old American boy who was learning in Israel for the year, was murdered by a terrorist. The government of the United States has not publicly acknowledged Ezra's murder, nor has it condemned the attack. A petition has been started on We the People asking the president to acknowledge Ezra's killing and to condemn the attack. Please sign the petition, which can be found at wh.gov/IVLikeVictorPeopleOOscarMMary. No, but equally important, please forward the mail and to all the people possible. They want to reach 100,000 signatures in 30 days. We don't need 100,000 signatures. The president can condemn it. It's an American boy. He got killed. I mean, just like this. Any act of violence is to be condemned. But the idea is, that somebody will come and say, make peace with us. I don't want to make peace with murderers. People who want you dead will never stop wanting you dead. And the Palestinian, long ago, they took off the mask. Now, if they play the boogeyman or they play whatever, you guys know the trick. We don't deal with terrorists, and we definitely don't give them anything. Now, let me remind you all that when we, American, because I'm American Israeli, remember, I'm both, so we can speak as we, America. When we left Iraq, do you know how much tons of equipment we left there for ISIS to take? You don't want to know. You really don't want to know, because they say it saved like millions of dollars from, you know, spending, transferring it backwards. You know, you don't take a carrier and you fill it up and, you know, you load your stuff. You leave it to gangs. So whatever mission you have to calculate. They have your guns. All right. So that's a lousy, lousy way to leave a place when you leave guns to terrorists. Ay, ay, ay. And you're telling me that the policy of President Bush didn't work? Think about how they left Iraq. Don't even mention it. You know, anytime people mention me the policy of George W. Bush, where he was right, but he saw it farther, so people couldn't understand what he was doing. And now you're telling me you left all those guns. God be with us. All right, let's get some music so we can pray for the safeguards.
Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. I go on too many dates, but I can't make them stay. At least that's what people say. Mm-hmm. That's what people say.
All right, that was Taylor Swift. She won yesterday, and the awards, and that's so sweet, and you know, everything is gonna be okay. All right, girl, let's hope. We had a wonderful song cheering us up, so so. Maybe we do have hope after all. Let's get some more news, and we'll be after that. It's Orlin Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth.
We're running out of time, but as a husband, a father, and a grandfather, I do have hope. If we want to leave our children, grandchildren, and future generations a healthy planet, we've got to respond now to the challenge of climate change. You know as well as I do how serious the threat is. The carbon pollution that drives climate change is making us sick. It's poisoning the air we breathe and the water we drink. It's making our planet sick, too. Moderate weather is virtually extinct. And global instability, poverty, and conflict are rising along with the temperature. We can prevent this disaster if we work together to do something different. Everywhere we look, people are beginning to take action on their own, in their homes, in their cities, in their own lives. And this December, leaders from every nation in the world will gather in Paris to work for change too. They know that we've all contributed to this crisis, and therefore we've all got to be part of the solution. If we stand together, we can change the course of history. I hope you will stand with me and others by signing a global petition at nrdc.org, calling on world leaders to take bold action now.
This is our only planet. This may be our last chance.
So let's protect the most important thing in the world, our children's future.
All right. And we are back. It's Orlin Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. That was Robert Redford talking about the next month's summit on global warming, global gas. And he's right, because it's making us, drink it and breathe it. And we need to take care of it. We need to make sure that we are safe. And the children in this earth needs to have a good fresh start. So let's support all of us and hope that whatever they do in the summit, except talking about how they're going to kick Syria off, we want them to get down to business, because the emission of carbon dioxide is really killing a lot of good things in this world. All right? So we were talking about Jeb Bush's plan, and we were talking about the fact that he wants to have Christian, and people were saying, well, he needs only Christian. No, the Christian are about to be killed. If they want somebody as a threat of life, we need to save them, because that's the way it is. And they don't have a place there anyway. So he's right by saying he wants to bring the Christian. By all means, this is America, and it was made. But, you know, the Muslims are mixed emotion about this. Some of them, you know, don't do nothing, and some of them attack and kill others. So the one who don't do nothing, they're actually participating, because they don't help us. You know, don't say to me, oh, they're all not bad. It's not about the all bad, but if you don't do nothing, you're as bad, you know, as the next one. All right? So, and how you can verify it if they are Christian. That's tricky. I don't know, you guys, how you make it, but I don't know how they're going to do it. But whoever runs on his life needs to be spared, all right? Let's help. Come on, guys. Let's get together and start helping the world. Whatever this going to happen, it's going to happen. But we don't want to destroy the world in the process. And when we bring more guns, when we bring more singing, you know, bombing stuff, oh, let's kill all those. Of course. But you need to remember that there are a lot of people who facilitate things that help. If you talk about the money stream, stop it. You need to get the money stream. And I want you guys to ask a question. You know, many activity in the Israeli and the Muslim Brotherhood or whatever the Muslim movement that they have in Israel got outlawed this week. And everybody's up and popping. And they found out tons of money there. And the question was, how is it? Where are they getting the money? Well, it's easy. If, for example, you ship the oil to Turkey, and Turkey is bringing the money to the Arab Muslim year, it's a kosher movement, right? Hypocrisy, it's hypocrisy. I don't say nothing, but I'm saying somebody has to track the trail of the money coming from where to those Arab organization on the ground. Mr. Kerry, I really, really hope that you won't make a big mistake, you know, by pushing the wrong button, even though I can understand every time you meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu, there is so much to talk about. All right, so let's have some music, and then we're gonna conclude. All right, let's get it.
Go for it.
This year, we decided to make a single to raise money for Comic Relief.
Comic Relief are a British charity that do amazing work helping people all over Africa and in the UK living with really tough lives.
So instead of spending a lot of money on a music video, we decided to make it ourselves while we're on tour and give the money we saved to Comic Relief.
Let's do it!
All right, One Direction won yesterday to the group award, I guess. And they're doing good deeds for the universe. They're, as it started to say, they're collecting money to help. And I support that. Whatever people do to help each other and be a part of this universe and don't live for themselves, like, how can you? Because you have friends, you have people, you have family. You have a wonderful, wonderful people in the universe that give you so much inspiration. I'm inspired every day by what people are doing. And every time I want to, you know, disengage, I forget. I remind myself that I'm a part of it, and it's not easy. We just need to get ourselves together and make sure that. That the leadership is there. And maybe, you know, the French, because they are connected with the Russians, can be a good moderators in the middle, even though they are really, they are mad. But they are mad for a few minutes because they were mad in January and they didn't do nothing. They didn't change the disc on security. And the City of Light, Paris, is going to be okay. Everything is going to be back to normal soon, I hope, for everybody. So that's it for now. We're going to be back on Wednesday. I'll try to get more news from Europe on Wednesday with Italian music or maybe French, whatever we feel like. Maybe, you know, I'll talk to some people and see what they have to say. But whatever it is, just pray hard, be good, love your friends, love your mother, love your parents, be a nice people to the world, and be worthy of the soul that God gave you, all right? And by all means, I'll miss you until then. God bless you, and just remember, there is a God, and it's not us. So that's only Benny Davis and the Possible Truth. I'll see you on Wednesday.